Rich, there's...
It's about 1:32. I assume we have some participants on the phone, but we'll call the roll in just a moment. So this is the time and place for a pre-hearing conference regarding a petition to, and I don't know how to characterize this, but to reset or to consider the fall storage reset for purposes of water right administration for the storage reservoirs on stream on the Snake River. And this petition was filed by Milner Irrigation District. And as a result of the petition, this is a contested case. And this is the first of perhaps several meetings regarding this particular subject. So, my name is Gary Spackman. I'm the director of the Department of Water Resources and will serve as the hearing officer for this particular contested case. So let's call the roll here at the department. You'll state your name and who you represent, please. And I'll look at my checklist to ensure we have everybody here. Eric?
So, in Eric Baxter, attorney for the Department of Water Resources.
Step out and grab you, Clyde.
Clyde Strong, the deputy, working for the office of the Idaho Attorney General, State of Idaho.
Okay.
Everard Baker, I'm the water rights specialist for BIA's Northwest Region.
Tell me your first name again.
Everard.
How do you spell it?
Echo Victor Echo R Romeo Alpha Romeo.
Oh, wait a minute.
He's had practice.
I thought you were giving me your full name.
He's a pilot.
E-V-E-R-A-R-D.
E-V-E-R-A-R-D. A-R-D. All right.
Okay.
And tell me your last name, I guess. So.
Baker.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right, I'm back with you, Everard.
Thank you, Mr. Dwayne Meekum, Interior Solicitor's Office, also representing BIA.
Norm Smick with Parsons Bailey, representing Aberdeen Springfield Canal Company.
John Simpson, today appearing for Surface Water Coalition and Idaho Power Company.
Candace McHugh, representing the Coalition of Cities.
Amy Blades, Deputy Attorney General, ADWR.
Speak up. Okay, and then on the phone, who do we have?
This is Ed Goodman, attorney for
Thank you, Ed.
Sam Fletcher, MIE, AM32.
Stan Huff with Idaho and Foods.
Just a minute, I'm behind. So under John, you're representing Surface Water Coalition. Is Kent, your participation is a part of the coalition, or did MID file a separate petition?
We do have a petition, but in the petition, we made it clear that each entity may or may not have similar positions once this thing starts sorting itself out. So John, in effect, is representing five of those entities, and I'm representing two.
Okay, so it came in as a joint petition. In fact, you're representing two of the Surface Water Coalition. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't have you listed separately, Ken. That's why I backed up.
I was on the petition.
Okay. And then who spoke up after Kent?
It was Dan Huff with Idaho and Foods.
And Dan?
Yes.
Of your clients or folks you represent, have they filed a petition in this matter?
Not that I know of at the point.
Okay, so you're just listening in at this point?
I am.
Okay. And who else is on the phone?
Sarah Klein at Teacher Pemberton for the City of Pocatello.
Thank you, Sarah. Demetra.
Bill Bacon, Shoshone Bannock Drives.
Bill, thank you. Who else?
Kyle Brown, the Green Power of America.
Tell me your name again.
Kyle Brown.
Okay. And Kyle, you're just listening in again?
Yeah.
Okay. Who else?
Tony Olmchak, Water District Number 1.
Thank you, Tony. More?
I'm Travis Thompson, Third Park on it.
Thanks, Travis. You're saved. And more.
Rob Harris, City of Idaho Falls and Palisades Water Users Incorporated.
I was waiting for you, Rob.
I'm here.
Good. Thanks. Present. All right. Any others?
Yeah, where's Jay Rigby?
Jerry Rigby?
Default.
Jerry. Call and remind him.
He knows it's 1:30 Boise time, right?
John, you two are sort of linked at the hip, aren't you? You and Jerry?
You're not going down that trail again, are you?
Not on this.
Not the snowman pictures again, okay? I'll text Jerry.
They were snowman pictures. They were similar, but different photos. You guys weren't holding hands.
Yeah, different sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Designated, and as far as we know, Jerry should have received the information, right? Okay, well, let's forge ahead and hope Jerry joins us. It's been a long time since I've conducted a lot of contested case hearings, at least routinely. There were two questions I always asked when I was holding these cases. I've gotten away from those questions, at least the first one, but I want to ask you today, because I always told people there were two purposes of pre-hearing conference. One was to talk about settlement and to define the issues, and the other was to schedule a hearing and all of the attending ancillary deadlines that you needed to consider. So I want to ask the question about settlement and the issues that you see arising and how we define those issues. So, can somebody tell me about settlement efforts? We didn't necessarily know the details, but I'm assuming everybody is still speaking, or are they speaking? Anybody want to step up?
Well, I guess I will, as everybody's looking around at each other. Director, I mean, there's been ongoing discussions on water deliveries in the fall for some period of time, probably since we all resolved how the system fills. The next part of that was, when does the system start to fill for the subsequent storage season? So those discussions have been ongoing for a number of years and have continued really through the end of last week. There are still discussions about
what history reveals, what the law is, and with respect to storage rights and natural filling natural flow rights. At the end of the irrigation season and trying to get a jump on the next year's fill for the next irrigation period. So we're having those discussions. We're exchanging technical information, trying to engage all the parties that want to hear about the issue and try to resolve it in an equitable way, but respecting priorities too. So I think the parties have, I guess if there's a question, have the parties made some progress? I think the parties have made, the parties that are talking, and there's no attempt to exclude anyone, I'll say, maybe there was an initial focus to try to get those folks that had a concern over either how the system had been, if you want to say reset, or how storage started in the fall to accrue new water. Those parties have been exchanging information, and as recently as last week continued that exchange of information and concepts. So hopefully that addresses your part of your question anyway.
Yeah, my question to some degree was a setup, so thanks, John. But and the reason that I wanted to raise it is because there are times, honestly, when holding a hearing as a hearing officer is a stimulating experience. And although I've always encouraged people to find solutions, this one and this particular matter I view as one that would not be stimulating to me. And honestly, I think there are risks on the part of the parties that ought to be addressed before it comes in front of me. And the reason is, as is often the case, when you throw something in front of a hearing officer or a tribunal, sometimes the options that are available to that decision maker are limited. And I think this is one of those instances when the parties can craft a solution that has a much broader spectrum than perhaps the opportunity that I might have writing the decision, given the possible facts and the law as I am compelled to apply the facts. So anyway, I want to encourage the parties to continue those discussions with, I guess, my statement of dread in holding this hearing and writing the decision. I'm just concerned that parties won't get out of me something that they feel is worth it. Okay. Further discussions on this subject? Do the parties want to somehow define the issue or issues in some way? I know this may be a single issue proceeding, but I've always asked parties, particularly in water right hearings, what is in dispute or what is at issue? Parties wish to discuss this. Do you want me to somehow write an issue statement?
Go ahead. Mr. Director, if I can jump in, this is Ed Goodman, the Shelby County Tribe. I think from our perspective, two issues. One is the question that obviously has been raised by the letter from Milner, which you treated as a petition. And that question is validity, ongoing validity of the current reset rate from Water District 01. The second issue that, from the tribe's perspective, is raised by raising that question is if there is a change from current operation to January 1 or some other date, is there a taking of tribe water rights at the time of the Fort Hall occurrence? that's an issue. We would be asserting in the case, as well as questioning the change to that.
So, Ed, I just have a question about the second issue.
Yes.
I question whether I, as the director of the Department of Water Resources, have the ability to consider that issue and have any authority to rule on the issue of a taking of the tribe's water rights. I'm the person who's supposed to direct the water master as to how to deliver and satisfy the water rights based on the decrees, or at least the way in which the rights are described by the decrees or licenses or permits of the department. I don't see how I get to the second issue.
Well, the way we see you getting to the second issue is if you determine that the decree requires you to reestablish the reset in January 1. The decree does not still require mitigation or compensation to the tribe. The agreement is also part of the decree. The Board Hall agreement is not part of the compensation to the decree. And our position would be that the tribe would need to remain whole for any adverse impact by that change. And he would be required to also direct the water master to take steps to mitigate that impact.
Well, that's an interesting argument, and maybe this is a preliminary matter that we need to work through, because I don't know whether evidence regarding those subjects would be appropriate at the administrative hearing. Norm?
This is Norm Simanko for those on the phone. So this being a pre-hearing conference, I think it's great to talk about what the issues are. You touched on settlement, and I've not been in enough multi-party administrative contested proceedings to know what the options are for settlement. Is that defined as all parties in agreement on everything, or are there cases where 12 out of 13 agree on a particular settlement and one party's a holdout? Is there, I'm not sure we aren't too far from that in this matter, but is there a process for show cause, or are we bound to, is it either everybody settles or the director makes a decision and there's no other options? Is that a fair question? I'm probably just the only one that doesn't know the answer to that, but.
Gary? Mr. Director, the rules of procedure provide for both opportunities, that if everybody agrees and they submit that to the hearing officer can make a determination about still whether or not to accept. Also, if certain parties reach a stipulation, they can present that to the hearing officer, and the hearing officer can take that into consideration through the process. But I think the rule still provides for the hearing to move forward. But again,
I'll take a look at the rules.
For your position and present that to the director.
Yes, restatement. I have a responsibility to hear the dispute if any party determines that they still want to be here.
Thank you.
Okay, so back to the issue statement. So at least one of the issues, if I can restate it, it would be, you talked about the validity, and really what we're talking about, isn't it? The way in which the historical reset of the stored rights is affected by the decrees, and particularly the period of use that is stated in the decrees for the water rights. I mean, that's one issue and goes to the validity question. Is that a proper restatement, Dale?
Yes, I think so.
And then the second issue that you're talking about, Ed, is an issue of mitigation and what might be required should some different reset date be established. And as I said before, I don't know whether I have the authority to determine that particular issue. And I guess this is an issue that I'd like to see the parties look at and tell me whether it's appropriate for me to be determining or considering this issue.
Candace, on behalf of the Coalition of Cities, I guess, is it a foregone conclusion that the director believes that this is a decree interpretation issue, an administrative decree interpretation issue that needs to, that's a condition as part of the decree, or is this an administrative practice that's outside of the decree?
I'm not sure how to address your question. Maybe I can address it with a question. Are you asking me whether I think the decree's bearer on this decision?
Well, you know, I think there's two ways to look at it. The decrees say what they say, and then there's administrative practice. The director, I guess I was, my clients have not been involved in the settlement discussions. I'm not even sure who all has been, so this might be an obvious answer, but there's administrative practice that the department obviously does in and has done in administering water rights, and has the authority to do that. And then there's the decrees. And I guess from my standpoint, is this a decree interpretation question that has, that you're saying there's an administrative action that essentially acts as a condition on the rights? Or the decrees start, I suppose, the inquiry, or is this something that the decrees are, it seems like we're changing the decrees, or the request is to add something to the decrees that aren't currently on the face of the decree. And the department has historic practice that's been memorialized in various places and throughout the SRBA for that matter. And I don't think that question is entirely clear to me, and maybe I'm lost, but that's, I think, a starting question for me, and maybe the people in the settlement are really clear on that.
Candace, this is Gary Spackman again. I think if I go back and read Chapter 6, which is the chapter of Title 42, under which I'm supposed to direct the administration and regulation of water rights, and I'm paraphrasing and only operating under crude memory, but the directive to me statutorily is to deliver the water rights of the various users according to the decrees, licenses, permits that have been issued by the department. And so that, in my opinion, that's my starting point. I have to look at the water rights and determine how administratively they're to be satisfied. And so I don't know how I can separate those water rights from an administrative action. I think those water rights have to be the baseline of the foundation where I start. And then maybe there are administrative practices that might bear on the interpretation of those water rights. So I see them being a mixture of evidentiary consideration, and I don't know how that plays out ultimately in a contested case here.
And maybe, and I don't disagree with what you're saying at all, so I guess the expectation would be if it went forward to a hearing, what you would be issuing would be water master instructions? Or what's the, what is the remedy?
Well, certainly I don't have the ability in this administrative hearing to re-decree the rights somehow. That's the function of the court. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. So it would be some sort of instruction to the administrative officers who were the water master or whoever who were delivering those water rights as to how those rights are satisfied and the timing of that satisfaction. Well, I think your statement is correct.
Mr. Director, this is John Simpson again. I mean, and if I were to review the letter filed by Milner, and you could also look at the coalition's petition, it seems like what Min and Travis can articulate this probably much better than I can. Seems like what Milner's asking is, how's our natural flow going to be delivered in the fall with our natural flow right? And then that's the petition. Very, very simply, is how is the district, water district, going to deliver to our natural flow right? And anything above and beyond that expands the issues that really Milner was asking for, I think, unless Travis has another interpretation or view of his letter. So, with all respect to what Mr. Goodman said, I think that potentially expands the issues beyond what Milner's initial letter articulated.
Okay. I don't have much additional input. Thanks for the clarification. It may be expanding the issues. I think
Director, this is that good for sometimes trying to disagree with that narrow reading of it of the what the petition required. Once a contested case is initiated on petition, all the issues that are implicated by that petition and come into play, any party that intervenes would have the ability to raise issues related to that. And the petition by Milner is based on the legal reading of the decrees and how they apply to administrative practice. And if those readings are accepted, that will result in a change to the administrative practice. And from the tribe perspective, that will result in harm to the tribe, and has to be according to the decrees as well, mitigating the compensation provided to the tribe. There's another issue that is layered into it as well, is how carryover is handled year to year under a new reset system. We're starting on January 1, and we're looking at the season of use and therefore the season of storage being January 1 to December 31. There, we have to look at how carryover is calculated. Our position is to see that the way carryover is calculated should not be consistent with the tribe's expectations or, frankly, other storage tribe holders' expectations on how their rights are calculated. We need to flesh that out. Are in play here as well.
Okay, any other statements from the parties regarding issues?
Mr. Director, this is Jerry Rigby. I apologize. I put the time on when I was in the Pacific time zone, and so it put me an hour late. Anyway, I've been on board some time.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Jerry.
Sorry. Time zone.
I heard the telephone ding you, and at least tell us, inform us of your presence. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So, what do we want to do about this issues statement and discussion, Norm?
So I had a question for the petitioner. In reading the letter, I'm assuming that Milner's requesting relief beyond the current year. You could almost read it to ask the director to provide relief this fall. So I guess I'd like some clarification on that. I assume they're seeking relief beyond this year, but the petition itself speaks to this fall.
Travis?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Director. This is Travis Thompson. The letter is simply, like John stated, identified Miller's request to have its natural flow price delivered in priority this fall. That's been corrected, as my understanding is your letter to the Water Master October 27th has corrected that past practice. So, in my opinion, if any party disagrees with that position or how those rights are administered, the mitigation, the taking, or carryover, they need to file a petition and challenge that procedure. Miller's letter wasn't a complaint or a petition starting some big contested case. It was just a simple request to ensure that its rights were delivered. I understand where we are now, but I didn't see that letter creating some new contested case to address any and all issues with accounting or administration of storage rights. That probably has a problem with it. I think they carried the burden to file that petition to establish if they want to establish.
So are you suggesting, Travis and Norm, that because at least in the fall of 2017, this issue has been resolved, that I shouldn't be conducting a contested case and that the matter is moot?
Well, certainly going forward, I guess, if we have to write that same letter every year, that'd be great, the issue again. But I assume that how you're directing the Water Master to administer the story rights will continue, that you're not going to change that.
Well, at least one court has said that I have the authority to initiate a contested case. If the parties don't want to move forward, then I intend to move forward. So let's get past that. I've set this matter for as a contested case, and I intend to move forward so we don't have a recurring problem year after year. And we were lucky enough this fall that at least the issue of the delivery of Milner's water and the reset of the reservoir rights didn't have a significant effect on one side or the other. At least that was my take. And I think the water circumstances this fall were unusual, and I don't guess that we'll see a repeat of what we saw this year. So,
well, that begs the question, I guess, Director's back, but I guess who is the petitioner? What's the burden of proof? Because Miller's position is that we don't have to go disprove the prior accounting practice, whatever that is, how it changed over time. Looks like their right was delivered this fall in priority. If that's the state of the law and administration, maybe that needs to be stated. If people challenge that, they need to come forward and show why that should be changed.
Yeah, go ahead, Sarah.
This is Sarah Klein. I just want to point out that in May of 2005, the Surface Water Coalition sent a letter demanding that their water rights be delivered in priority, and that led to 9 years of litigation. So I think it's more than possible that a letter demanding delivery of water in, whether it's the man or the Water Master's intending to deliver it or not, could easily lead to a contested case, and I think that's where we're at. Issues of burden of proof and all that sort of stuff, so you need to be getting ahead of the script.
Well, Travis, I guess I am a little bit incredulous that Milner would want to send that letter every fall, and that we have this recurring problem that we're confronted with in a short period of time.
I wasn't suggesting that. I wasn't suggesting that.
And that's all the question I was asking, and he's answered it. They want that relief going forward, so thank you.
Well, but there has been a question raised about who bears what burden of proof during this particular hearing. It seems to me that's another issue that's been raised. But I intend to consider
where we're starting from. It seems to me that your letter to Lyle last month that this is how storage rights should be administered in the fall. And if that's the starting point, if somebody doesn't like that or believes it's taking, they should file whatever petition or filing they need to. Can't challenge that.
Yeah,
I don't know where we're starting.
Well, Travis, if you go back and read that letter also that I wrote was applicable to 2017, contemplating the resolution of this issue before next year. So it had a short-term duration, and I think all of those issues are still there.
So are you going back in 18 to the old administration? Where does the department stand on this?
I don't know where the department stands on this. I'm waiting for presentation of evidence and argument about applying the law to the facts. That's the purpose of this contested case. So let's talk about, and at least folks have raised three issues for me, and one is, who bears the burden of proof in this matter? And then the underlying base or foundational issues, at least stated by Ed Goodman, are what are the water rights and how do historical practices, or what are the historical practices and how do the water rights bear on those practices? And then number two, yes, is there, well, a sub-issue. Can the director determine any kind of impacts of a decision about water right administration to the tribes? And if you get past that issue, then the next one is, what are, if any, those impacts? I think all those issues probably need to be fleshed out. We need to decide what to prepare for in the contested case. So, how do we talk about those issues and focus our attention on what needs to be litigated in the contested case?
Before I get back to the starting point, I guess, what is the current state of the law and how rights are to be administered? Because we've got different practices over time, and now we have a letter directing the water master to do something different in compliance with the decree. So what is the practice for litigating?
Director, if I might.
Yeah.
This is Garrett Baxter for the department. Historically, when individuals have requested that the department change how it is accounting for a particular activity, one of the first things we've done at those contested cases is have somebody come in and testify as to how the issue, question that's being raised, or the administrative practice that's being raised, is being done. So as simply to help kind of move things along, I could envision a proceeding where we bring forward testimony from a Water District 1 employee to come testify as to how currently the reset has historically been done, to at least provide a factual base for the hearing officer then consider, and then essentially leave it to the parties to articulate if they are in support of that or if they hope to seek a change from that. And let the parties raise their arguments. I suppose that is one way to approach the issue you asked to the first question that's being raised.
Just a procedural question. Was the letter that was sent to the water master with instructions sent in this contested case? Or is it separate? Because I don't recall getting... I'm not sure, off the top of my head, where our timing all was. So I guess that's a question I have, because I don't know that I'm in that loop.
It was not captured in the contested case related to a different issue.
Garrett, this is Rob Harris, just so I understand. So on the department's website, that October 27th letter is not posted. Was that on a separate issue, or does the department intend to now post that letter under this contested case?
Rob, I do not believe it's posted there because it came up in another issue. It's tangentially related to this matter because it related to when the board's recharge water rights may come into priority. I don't see a problem with providing the parties a copy of that letter, and if the parties so desire to make that a part of the record in here, they have that ability to do so.
So maybe there is a disconnect. If I understand Travis's comments, he indicated he thought that letter answered the question, but maybe that's not the department's view either. So it sounds like this is still an issue that needs to be resolved.
Other input at this point.
Sorry, Travis. Letter to recharacterize any storage that Miller's 1916 ride may have been entitled to in Central Flow. Did that happen? Tell me.
Tony, did you hear the question?
No, I wasn't sure he was addressing it. Maybe one would pull the question. So, I understand that letter of October 27th that any natural flow that might have been available to Milner's rights or any other junior natural flow rights at that time, they were diverting storage. And if that water would have been available to their natural flow rights, was the purpose of that letter to recharacterize that water as natural flow?
Yeah, when I wrote on the letter simply said that reservoir rights couldn't approve storage ahead of any other water right until beginning January 1st.
And I thought that they had been growing water after September 15th. And then perhaps Miller's natural flow right was cut off to fill those prior storage rights?
Yeah, prior to the letter, that's true.
Did the water district go back and change that accounting to show it's natural flow, or at least a portion of it?
Yeah, we went back retroactively and changed everything based on the October letter.
Well, certainly the October letter is available to all of the parties for review. And can be made a part of this record if the parties wish it to be. And it has some relevance, in my opinion, so it's open and can become a part of the record. Do the parties have any other suggestions regarding the issues and our refinement of those issues so that we can then prepare for the contested case? If not, what I want to start doing is setting some deadlines for either briefing or submittals to the department on that issue, and then setting up deadlines after that, after the issues are stated, and preparing for a hearing. Ultimately, I'd like to today talk about a possible hearing date. So the parties have some suggestions for me. And I want to hold this hearing in time so that these questions can be addressed before the next irrigation season.
Director, this is Ken Fletcher. I just had a follow-up question before I get to actual date.
Okay.
It's more of a procedural question, and the reason I ask this is I'm familiar with some other basins where the water masters were engaged in practices that the director felt were inappropriate, and the director required changes without it necessarily being treated as a contested hearing. I'm just trying to get a feel if the director believes that the water rights should be administered similar to the letter that's being referenced, the October letter. I guess I'm trying to frame this in such a way that we avoid a whole bunch of time, wasting time, I guess I would call it. I don't think there's any real issue about what's going on today with the accounting program until that letter came out. And there's not much issue about, at least I believe how you feel about it based upon your October letter. I was just wondering, maybe perhaps there was another way to do this where you issue a similar letter in this proceeding and then the parties take positions on that letter. Because otherwise I'm not, you know, Eric made that one suggestion, I guess, perhaps we could all agree Tony Olenchek gives the historical background of how the reset, when it started and how it's changed and all these things. And we could all see if we agree to those facts. But I don't think there's going to be any issue on that. And then really all of our time frame should spin off of that, in my opinion. If there's been one issue out there.
So your argument or your presentation, Kent, would conclude that I should take whatever Tony presents to me, then issue a decision, and then from that point let the parties target shoot at whatever that decision is. I'm assuming there wouldn't be a unanimous support for the decision that I issue. Not sure I've seen any of those during my tenure.
Yeah, and I don't know if in the other basin, like I do know on Big Lost River in the past, there have been times the water masters were taking actions that you didn't care for. And I don't know if you issued letters or a formal order directing the water master to, you know, straighten up in a shorthand fashion. This to me seems almost like it would follow that same framework.
Well, I'll consider the suggestion, Kent. I'm not biting on it today. I'm ready to start scheduling. So how much time do you want for issue identification and argument?
Well, I'm sorry, this is Travis again. If that's the initial threshold determination you're going to hear, like which issues are going to address, probably as soon as possible to get that handled.
Well, I guess there's another alternative, and that's just to let the parties discover and then determine those issues down the road. I'm not sure that's efficient for the parties. Don't the parties think that it would be helpful to define the issues that the director is considering?
Yeah, Mr. Director, this is John Simpson. I think that is appropriate. I think, while I agree with Kent, that there may not be any dispute over what the historical practice has been. Having some way to delineate that and have it on paper or in testimony as we move into this, if we're going to go into a contested case hearing, would be beneficial. I mean, I suspect that not every party's been privy to the history that some have been, or delved into it to the point that some have. So that might actually speed things up if we had the ability or to review, if you will, a report or a memo from the water district that articulated from their perspective what the historic practice has been, the timing of various changes in the accounting program and whatnot. And then I also agree, I mean, I've written down what I think I've heard regarding the issues, but I think those could merit some refinement, and perhaps at the end of that refinement, some either motion practice or whatnot on whether the department feels or whether the parties feel the department has the authority to undertake that, some of those determinations or not. That's what I've heard today.
This is Jerry. I concur.
The snowman speaking.
Let me just step in with my toe a little bit and start talking about scheduling. So, and rather than my telling Tony and Lyle immediately, don't do that. What I'd like to do is ask Tony to prepare, or Lyle, or both, prepare a staff memorandum that discusses the historical practice of delivery of the natural flow and how it interacts on the Snake River and how it interacts with storage rights, given the historical practice of resetting those, the accrual to those on-stream reservoir rights at various times. And I understand that those reservoir rights and the accrual, at least under those rights, you know, I get myself in trouble just using the word accrual, I suppose, but at least the satisfaction of those rights begins again in the fall. So, Tony and Lyle, I'd like to, and I will, ask for a staff memorandum. And how long will it take to prepare that staff memorandum, given the fact that you guys aren't taking Thanksgiving or Christmas holidays?
They've already done it.
You just had a question for us to answer?
Yeah. Well, ignore the comment about no holidays, but what's a reasonable period of time for you to prepare the staff memorandum?
Well, I can have the draft done by the end of this week, and then I'd like a few other people to review it before I finalize it. So I don't think it would take very long.
So middle of December?
Yeah, that'd be plenty of time.
And then any responses to that staff memorandum will be due between Christmas and New Year's for candidates? Yeah.
As long as I'm not in a hearing the week before Christmas, I'm good to go.
Well, I know the courts do that. I won't. But I think simultaneous with Tony's preparation of that memo, so we'll call it out to be, and I don't have my December calendar in front of me, but we'll call it out to be the middle of December for Tony to submit that for the parties to review. Simultaneous with Tony's preparation, I would like the parties.
15th is a Friday.
15th of December?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let's target the 15th of December for Tony's submittal. And then simultaneous with Tony's preparation of the staff memorandum, I would like the parties to brief for me, so raise and articulate the issues that you think should be brought before the department and the director in this contested case, and what's today, the 13th, so the 15th of December. So the first
1st of December is also a Friday, right?
Yes.
So I'd like you to submit to me those documents. Yeah, well, that's unreasonable. I want to say the 1st of September, but we got Thanksgiving holiday. Should we schedule the submittal of those the 15th of December at the same time?
That's fine.
And then let's figure out a date in January when responses to those issues and responses, if any, to Tony's staff memorandum. So let's pick a day in January.
Eric, if I might just ask a clarifying question. Are you looking from the parties for just statements of issues, or do you want statements of issues and memorandums of our argument in support of why those would be the appropriate issues? So more than just a statement.
Both.
So the statement plus argument in support of why that issue should be raised.
Yep.
Or is appropriately raised.
Yes.
So it'd be like, it's important for you to decide what color the sky is, and here's why it's important to decide what color the sky is, but I'm not going to get into an argument of what color the sky is in this briefing. That's not the issue is what issues do you need to decide, and why is it important to decide those? But you don't want us going into, or do you want us going into the merits of those particular issues? Okay, I just want to make sure, because lawyers like to write stuff. So
I don't want you going into the merits, but I do want you to discuss why the director of the Department of Water Resources should be considering or has any authority to determine whether the sky is blue or not, or whether Venus and Jupiter are passing over the sky.
Director Sackman, Mr. Travis, why can't I move that up? I don't think that's going to take very long to identify the issues and, I guess, statement on why it should be addressed. Then you can decide early on in case what will be addressed. So we'll have the time to.
I'm happy to move it up. Is December 1 seem, John?
How about if you had that issue statement, and that's what I wrote down, and brief in support of the issues with authority, due on the 8th, and any responses due
on the 15th?
Either the 15th or the middle of the following week, like the 20th, or even the following Friday, this is the 22nd. So it's, those are then submitted to you, gives people a chance to respond, and then you can decide.
And then I get to work over Christmas.
It depends on when we hold the next pre-hearing or what status conference or whatever, when you've made your decision.
So let's expect the initial statements, if that's acceptable to everybody. The initial statement of issues and the points and authority supporting or not supporting those issues to be submitted on the 15th. Let's just have them all of that come in on the 15th. So 1 week later.
Okay. 15th?
Yeah. Okay.
So we're not moving up, is that what you said?
No.
I thought we just said we were moving up the 8th.
Director.
We are moving up.
Yeah, Fletcher.
We are.
What? What is that for the initial file?
The 8th.
Okay.
December.
The 8th.
And then 1 week later, the 15th, would be any responses.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't expect that those responses would be significant. Whatever set forth in the original submittal should be the meat of whatever I receive. Yeah. Candace?
Is it required of a party to file a statement in order to continue as an intervener in the case? Or can they just file a response?
I don't think anybody necessarily is required to submit anything.
Okay, I just didn't want to waive anything.
If you want to participate, participate. If you don't want to participate, then you leave it up to the, I won't call it discretion of the director, but.
Well, I think some of the parties who haven't been routinely involved in the settlement discussions aren't at the same understanding of what all the issues could be, I guess, and my clients are in that particular category. When we filed the motion to intervene, really it was because if we didn't intervene, we can't get in. So we need to understand what the issues are, or what we think the issues are, what the parties are saying the issues are, because looking at it just from the outside, that's not the easiest thing to understand, which I think we've just discovered here today, which is why I asked the question, because I may be able to respond, but I might not have any independent issues. So that's the reason I asked the question.
Yeah. Mr. Durka, this is Ken Fletcher. I kind of have the same concerns, I guess. I personally can take a lot for granted, but I feel pretty comfortable. I know what Connie's going to say in the factual issues, but, or the facts, I should say. But we're framing our issues before the Connie's facts are being submitted, so I get a little nervous, especially people that haven't been involved. I'm not quite sure how they know how to frame the issue, and they don't even know the facts of what they're submitting an issue on. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's a rare day.
It sounded like Tony was volunteering something sooner than December 15th, but you gave him more time.
Well, that's another possibility. Tony, can we move your deadline up?
Yeah, I don't think the problem is with me getting the initial draft written. I can do that pretty quickly. The problem is having other people like Lyle review it, and he's gone on vacation or leave, or he's got other important things, and the attorneys for the department, same thing. So, like I say, I can get the initial draft written in just a week, but I don't know how long it'll take the others to review it before it's finalized.
First in December.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. All right, let's set Tony's deadline 1st of September. Address this particular issue. 8th is when the issue statements and argument comes in. 15th of December is the responses. Thanks,
Tony. Thank you, Dirk. I think that's a better argument.
Yeah, okay. And then we're confronted with the holidays, so...
Canceled.
Up to the 24th, I'm told, is just fine.
24th what?
I said up until the 24th, you should have no worries, is what I've been told.
There are other holidays.
That's just what I was told. I'm told on the record several times.
Well, in response, then, I will issue an order that states the issues that we will be considering at the hearing. So... when's an appropriate date for that issue? Party's time to start preparing. I don't see me imposing any sort of preparation expectations on the parties from 15 through Christmas and New Year. Unless parties want something to do during that period of time. So let's identify the 5th of January as the date that I'll issue an order about the issues. And do we want to start looking out for a hearing date to reserve it? Work backwards? Or do we need another pre-hearing conference? I'd like to schedule a hearing date with this many parties because of the potential conflicts that people might have. What's an appropriate time period for preparation, folks? Six weeks?
Seems to me that if we're going to have a hearing at all, that it would just be good, and you want to get a decision out before the irrigation season, that we ought to set a hearing at a time that and give you enough time to make a decision and move backwards.
So 6 weeks after the 5th of January would be like the February 19th, 20th week of that week.
I would be somewhat facetious. I was assuming the parties might want more time.
Yeah, the question in my mind is what do the parties anticipate needing to do between January 5th and, or December 15th for that matter, and the hearing? I imagine some parties might want to talk to the Water District 1 staff in a formal process. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else people would want to do in that interim.
It's a big part of them.
I suspect we might have more experts than just Tony now.
Right. There may be some either historical dispute or addition to the history that's laid out in the Water District's memo. May or may not. Until we see it, we don't know. So, but those depend on how the director wants that information brought in. Wouldn't necessarily require a response before January. It's just part of the evidence that you would take in. I guess, Mr. Director, one question I have is you've offered twice that I want to get a decision out before the irrigation season. I mean, this is in part an issue that arises at the end of the irrigation season, or at least I'll say the second half of the irrigation season. So, I mean, folks with natural flow rights, and if they have storage, they need to plan ahead of time. There's no doubt about that, but probably looking at how much carryover they have or what their irrigation demand is and their storage use throughout the irrigation season probably really starts to hit them towards the second half of the irrigation season, I would suspect. And maybe Milner has a different circumstance, or American Falls number 2. They can speak to that better than I. But we didn't know how water was going to accrue this year versus the natural flow at the end of the irrigation season until the end of the irrigation season. So,
give me time to work through all of the administrative processes that we might be confronted with, that the parties might take advantage of, and then work backwards, and also at least look at when the earliest dates for reset have been. And it's my understanding that some of those early dates could have been as early as August, although I don't know for sure. I just have heard that anecdotally. So if we take into account the possibility of exceptions, the possibility of petitions for reconsideration, a time period for writing a decision, seems to me we need to hold this at least early to late spring is my take. So 6 weeks is probably too soon, given the preliminary matters that we need to consider. And I'm always a little concerned about holding these kinds of hearings in the middle of the irrigation season, but I guess nobody sitting around this table delivers water, right? We originally had talked about the possibility of holding this hearing in February. I think that's premature.
10 weeks gets you to March 19th from January 5th.
March 19th?
That's 10 weeks, I think.
How many days?
Yeah, I'm not available that week.
Okay.
I think some folks tend to, I don't have this problem, but some stumble into spring break issues during that time period. I suggest you consider the first week of April, April 2nd.
This is Travis. I'm gone that whole prior week. I'd rather not come back to a hearing the first day after spring break, but
start March 5th or March 12th.
Yeah. March 12th. 5th is 8 weeks. Or 9 weeks.
Well, we can either do it mid-March or the week of Monday the 9th of April.
So
So the week of the 5th is the Water District 1 annual meeting, right?
What?
The Water District 1 annual meeting.
Yeah,
right.
Can't do it the first week.
That doesn't work.
It'd have to be the 7th. Let's see.
I'd rather do it here. This is Sarah. Yeah.
A number of us are out for water meetings on the 9th, 10th, and 11th of April.
How about next week?
The 16th.
Is
that the week you're talking about?
Oh, I thought you meant like next week.
The 16th works.
18th through the 20th. I want all you 1%ers to have the chance to file your taxes. My calendar says the 17th is tax day.
Yeah, it's the 16th, it's a holiday.
Well, that's thoughtful.
Yeah, I think that was last year.
That's what mine's.
I think it's the 16th.
Because of DC.
DC has
the DC. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Director, I mean, I'd prefer to start on the 16th in case we need the whole week.
The which?
The 16th of April.
Oh, I was optimistic. I thought 3 days would do us. Five?
Well, I don't know. That's why if we start the 16th and we don't need the 19th and 20th, so be it.
All right.
17th would be better for me.
17th is a better starting date.
Middle ground.
Not even at the 3% level.
Yeah, so for those of us that do our taxes over the weekend, 4 days?
17th through the 20th?
Is that going to work? 4 days? Maybe.
Sure.
You're only going to need
it. Sure.
It's the 16th, a holiday for you guys? U.S.?
That works for us.
Must be.
17th through the
20th.
4 days.
Paul's going to be flying
solo. That should be enough.
Mayfax. See.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you want to work through timing of submittals and preparation right now?
Because Paul can handle
it. Or do you want to wait until I issue an order regarding the issue? Maybe we have another.
I think it'd be more good. Sorry, this is Jerry. I think it'd be more beneficial once we know all the issues. We can have another call. I agree with that.
All right. So should we schedule a status conference in January?
Another one? Mm-hmm. Next week after, if you're going to issue the order on the 5th, sometime early the next week.
Yeah, that next week, at least the beginning of the week, is a little busy for us. I think the legislature will convene
Monday.
The 8th.
Yeah.
And at least the first couple of days with the governor, state and state budgets being handed out. So maybe toward the end of that week, the date we can schedule. Mid to the end of that week.
Tenth, perhaps.
10th or 11th. Director, I've had a conflict on Wednesday. I'm available on Thursday and Friday.
Okay. Just look here.
January 11th.
11th. That day works for me.
That's a conflict. Director, but 12th would be better.
12th. 12th would work for me. Anybody?
That works.
Morning or afternoon?
Morning.
Morning. 10? Okay with everybody?
Before the long weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have hearing dates identified. We have some deadlines in December and January, and we have a status conference that's scheduled, or a pre-hearing conference, a second one scheduled for January 12th at 10 a.m. in the morning. Other matters the parties want to raise. Okay. Thanks for your help this afternoon. Have a good Thanksgiving.
I guess, Director Sack, are you issuing an order on the petition intervening that court done?
Yeah, I should issue an order that recognizes those things, and I'll also issue an order that sets out the deadlines in December and status conference.
There's an objection deadline. The 20th, I think, is the last objection deadline, unless there's no objection.
All objections to the petitions to intervene.
The last one was filed the day by...
Why don't we just raise that issue right now? Are there objections to any of the potential interveners participating?
We've all seen the petitions. They've only been sent to you.
This is true.
We received some on Thursday or Friday and then one today. So they're posted today.
Oh, okay.
They're posted online through the 8th, I think. So the ones that weren't posted were Idaho Falls, Palisades Water Users in the U.S. or their others?
I believe that's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wait 20 days for this. So maybe we ought to do this separately then. Let's issue an order that at least sets out the deadlines in December so everybody has it in hand. And then I don't anticipate objections to the petitions to intervene. They were timely filed. It seems to me that everybody in this petition would have an interest, a direct interest in this opinion. So I don't see a real cause for objection, but raise it if you will. Okay, other matters? Thanks for your help today.